So right now we're in part two of a series entitled New Life in Christ. Now, because we kicked it off last week and we were missing a few people, I really want to take a minute to review, because to understand where we are going in this series, it's very important that we all understand this foundational truth. Last week we began with this incredible truth that Jesus promised us abundant life. He promised it to us. Listen, Jesus is not one of these people who makes a promise and forgets. Jesus is not going to offer you something and then take it back and say, well, maybe I was just kidding. He is serious. And he is very much, his heart desires for you to receive that abundant life. Now, here's what I want to say. Jesus, when he was hanging on the cross, yelled out with a loud voice and said, it is finished. In the Greek, tetelestai, it is finished. What was finished? All the work of redemption. Everything that it took to pay for your sins, past, present, and future. Everything that it took to bring men who were separated from God back to oneness with Father God in heaven. It was all taken care of. He knew he had completed his mission. He said, it is finished. Guys, and then he died a death of a sinner. And he died that death, not deservingly, but willingly for you and me. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And he took upon the sin of all mankind for all time. And he died a gruesome, horrible death on that cross. And he was put in the ground for 3 days. But on the third day, he defeated death. He defeated sin. He conquered all the power of the enemy. And he rose victorious from the grave. And he came alive again. Jesus is alive. And he offers you and me the very same life that brought him from the dead out of the grave. The Bible says the same Spirit that brought Jesus from the dead lives in every believer. Come on. And we're depressed and we're worried and we're anxious. The same Spirit that could raise Jesus from the dead took all the sin of mankind and killed him. But the Spirit of God is greater. And he rose from the dead. Church, that Spirit is in you. If you're a believer in Christ today, what do we have to be worried about? What do we have to fear? The Spirit of God lives inside every believer. The worship team said it. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit, where Christ lives. I want you to know that God is excited about you today. I hope that you're excited about God today. New life in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone. Say it with me. A new life has begun. Say it one more time. A new life has begun. John 10:10. Jesus said to his disciples, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. John 10:10 in the Amplified Version. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. This is not a shabby promise. This is life and life overflowing and joy. Church, I think most of us, we read this verse and it goes, whew. It just goes right past us. We don't even really understand the depth of this. We're going to spend the month of January talking about how can we step into the new life that Jesus promised us. How can we attain it? How can we walk in it? How can we realize it? Are there ways that we could measure, evaluate whether we're really experiencing it? It's not some theoretical thing. It's not something that's far away. Life in Christ is here right now. So we asked a question last week. How do we know if we're experiencing the new abundant life? And we began to see some direction in the book of Romans. Romans 8 verse 6 says, the mind set on the flesh. Now let's stop and talk about that for a minute. The flesh is the world's way lacking. It is the self-centered nature of man. It's what some call the fallen nature of men. You know, Adam and Eve said they had the great fall. They fell into sin. And so everyone born after them is born in sin. And so it is our self-centered nature. It is the way that the world works. It says a mind that is set on that is death. But the mind set on the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, a mind that is set on that Spirit is what? Life and peace. Church, there's a reality here that we can walk in new life. But our mind, we ask the question, how can we know? How can we be for sure? Well, if your mind is set on self and what I want and me first, you can recognize that you're going to reap death. Even though Jesus has already taken death upon himself and said, you don't have to live in that anymore, we still have this little thing that's really huge. It's called the free will of man. Every one of you get to choose what you set your mind on today. Every one of us get to determine what we will think about and how we will act in this life. And even though the promise is sure and the life is abundant and it's given to us right here, right now, we could miss it because our mind is set on the flesh instead of the Spirit. Stay with me. Romans 8, verse 6 in the New Century Version. If people's thinking is controlled by the sinful self, the flesh, there is death. But if their thinking is controlled by the Spirit, there it is again. There is life and peace. So this new abundant life in Christ will be expressed through new thinking. It literally says thinking that is controlled by whom? The Spirit of God. So we've got to submit our thinking. So we have free will. We could do whatever we want. So to be a believer, you must surrender your free will to the Spirit of God each and every day. New life in Christ is available, but it only comes to those who are surrendered, whose mind is controlled by the Spirit of God. You could be born again. You could have received Christ. And once you receive Christ and the free gift of eternal life, the Bible says he will not take that away from you. It is a gift. You could have confessed your sins. You could have said, Jesus, I believe in what you did on the cross. I want to surrender my life to you. You could have made that decision and know that your eternity is secure, and still reap death every day until you leave this planet because you still are in control of your mind. And it says the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. So just as well as you could reap death every day, because now you are born again and you have the Spirit of God in you, you could live an abundant life every day until you leave this planet. I'm not sure how to get y'all motivated about that, as I just gave you everything I got. New thinking that is under the influence and control of the Holy Spirit results in new life. So we talked about this last week. Thinking always precedes acting, so you think it before you do it. So Spirit-led thoughts should lead to Spirit-led actions. The book of Galatians actually gives us a list of Spirit-led actions. So they're called the fruit of the Spirit. Here's the deal. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So how do you know if you're experiencing the new abundant life? Is there a way to measure when you're actually experiencing Spirit-led thinking? Yes. Because you'll see Spirit actions in your life. You'll see the fruit of the Spirit coming out of you. If you want to honestly evaluate, if I want to honestly evaluate whether I'm living in the new life, experiencing the new abundant life that Jesus promised, I should be looking for ways to measure the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Now, these are just logical conclusions to reading the Bible. So we said, abundant life is available. Well, what would that look like? Well, it said a mindset on the Spirit is life. Okay? And then later in the book of Galatians, we learn that a mind with the Spirit working, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and all against such things there is no law. So logical conclusion is, if you want to measure whether your training in reading worked, you take a test in reading. If you want to measure whether your education in math worked, you take a test in math. If you want to know if the fruit of the Spirit, if the training, if the choices, if the life you're living is accomplishing what you want, you look and evaluate and say, is there any love in my life? I mean, like the God kind of love, because our culture tells you that love is self-centered. Love is not self-centered. Love, God's kind of love, is self-sacrificing and thinks of others first. Is there any patience going on in my world? Is there any gentleness or self-control or goodness? See, there are literally ways to evaluate and measure whether you're walking in the abundant life or not. So many times I think church is like this. Man, that's a great message. That made me feel good. But I have no idea how to realize that in my life. Well, that might be a good message. But it's not great preaching, because great preaching should lead you to application in your life. If we really want to accomplish something when we gather here, these messages should not just tell you about God, they should give you very specific instructions on how to encounter and interact with God and how to know if you're walking in the Spirit. That's what we try to do here, try to be real practical. So I should be looking for ways to measure. So, we made a checklist last week to help us evaluate whether we're living the abundant life that Jesus promised. It looks like this. You should have got one when you walked in. It's the daily assessment to help determine how much I'm expressing the fruit of the Spirit in my life. We're going to get back to this in a minute. If you don't like paper, we have Techno Village here. However you say that. It's available on the app. Go to the app. Go to media, go to Sunday Sermons, pick New Life in Christ, that logo that's on the wall right there, and then pick last week or this week's sermon. You can scroll down. There's 9 questions right there. These are going to become important for us if we want to evaluate ourselves honestly. Now, let's move on a little bit. So we have a great tool for evaluation, but I think we need to dig a little bit deeper. If we're really going to understand the new life that Jesus has given us. So today's big idea is this. Abundant life is in the Spirit. Now let's just jump in. Jesus talking to his disciples before he's going to exit the planet, preparing them for what's about to happen. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage, say advantage, that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, would you say helper, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, if you read the whole book of John earlier in previous chapters, he's already told us that the helper is the Holy Spirit. So he says, it's a good thing that I go back to heaven, because when I go to heaven, I'm going to send you the helper, the Holy Spirit. So let's break down this word. It has a very powerful meaning in the Greek. The word is parakletos or paraclete. A definition would look like this: one called alongside to help or to fight for you. Also, a comforter, an advocate, or an intercessor. Let me give you a picture of what I believe this paraclete looks like. Someone who fights on your behalf. So it's like if you and a fellow soldier are burrowed down in a foxhole in the middle of a war, and you're called out of that hole to fight. You have a gun, he has a gun, you go back to back, and where you're shooting, he can't see, but where he's shooting, you can't see. You see what I'm saying? But your back is covered because you have a paraclete. You have someone who's fighting on your behalf. You have someone who's there to help you. You have someone who's there to comfort you, to intercede for you, and to be your advocate. The illustration probably really pales in comparison, because the Holy Spirit's not just got your back. He's a shield about you. He's the armor all over you. He's the weapon in your hand. He's the word in your mouth. He is the very sustenance of your life. I hope I get somebody excited about Jesus today. Christianity is real. Jesus is alive. He's here through the Holy Spirit. And he said, I'm so glad that I'm leaving because I'm sending the Spirit of God. Listen, church, when Jesus was here, the presence of God was geographical. The presence of God was where Jesus was. But when he left, the presence of God now fills the whole earth. And it also has a special manifestation, the presence of God, wherever there's a bunch of believers together. Because each one of us are filled with the Spirit. And each one of us, as we come together in a meeting like this today, it's power time. It's It's the opportunity to blow a hole in the heavens and see the glory of God come down. It's the opportunity for all of us in the Spirit to create such power and energy. That we not only enjoy life for ourselves, but that community of Spirit-filled believers then begin to make ripples out into the greater community, into our city, into our schools, into our city government, into our county and our region and our state and our nation. We can make a difference, but we're so focused. Listen, we get focused on us. And we get focused on us. The Bible says that's death. Get focused on the Spirit, please. I'm trying not to yell at y'all. Please get focused on what the Spirit's doing. All of your needs will be met in the Spirit, but you'll not just have your needs met, you'll overflow to meet the needs of others. Whew. Let's keep reading further down in John 16, verse 13. But when he, the helper, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Verse 14. He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, Jesus, for he, the Holy Spirit, will take of mine, Jesus's, and disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, Jesus says. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and discloses it to you. What is going on right here? Jesus, first we see that Jesus is showing us that there is perfect unity in the Trinity. Now, let's pause for a minute. If you never heard that word, you may be going, what are you talking about, man? Tri means three. Trinity, tri-unity. There's three in one. The Father, God in heaven, Jesus Christ, the Son, who came to redeem the world, and the Holy Spirit, who Jesus sent. So here's how it goes. They were all together in heaven. If you read in Genesis, you see the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all represented as the earth was created. Then when sin happened, they said before they even knew that sin was going to happen, they already had a plan that God was going to send the Son to the earth. Jesus did what he was supposed to, and he accomplished his mission. He went back to heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit to the earth. And now the manifestation, the work, the power of God is brought to us through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, we're at an advantage above all times in previous history. from the time Jesus left until now, these last 2,000 years, we're the special anointed generation where the Holy Spirit has come and he's in all believers, and we get to shake the heavens and shake the earth with the power of a living God. And I'm telling you, I'm about to explode up here this morning. And I really ask the question, what is wrong with us most days? That we live like we're unaware that the power lives in us. Well, I think it's because we might have our mind set on the flesh instead of the spirit. Now, let's just think about these things and be honest. Because the potential is unlimited, but the results we see have been limited. Would you agree? Now listen, I'm not after anybody. I love this church. I know you're not supposed to compare or compete, but I would put our church up against any church in the world for the quality of people, the sincerity of love, the wonderful sharing of goodness and the spirit within us. We have a great church. People are getting saved. People are getting anointed with the Holy Spirit. Good things are happening. But I have a dream that we would impact the world, not just have a great church. Second thing we see in that passage of scripture is that the Father and the Son are in heaven. And so the activity of God in the earth is manifested through the Holy Spirit. In other words, God works in the earth today through the Holy Spirit. Everybody good with that? These are simply logical conclusions from reading the Bible. So then, obviously, the new, abundant life that Jesus promised us comes to each of us through the Holy Spirit. If you're going to live the abundant life, you're going to have to get in touch with the Spirit of God. Big idea, abundant life is in the Spirit. You may be saying, Pastor Brad, why are you making such a big deal about this? Let me answer. Because a lot of people seem to be just fine with the Father and the Son, but they're a little bit cautious about the Holy Spirit. Let me make you a promise today. If you like the Father and you like the Son, you're going to love the Holy Spirit. Because we read it earlier, they are one. You like the fact that the Father in heaven adopted you and promised to provide for your every need? Then you'll love the Holy Spirit because he brings your needs and provision to you. You like the fact that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood and paid the price for your sins so that you wouldn't have to burn in hell, you could go to heaven when you die? You like that about Jesus? Then you're going to love the Holy Spirit because he is the one who opened your eyes to understand what Jesus did on the cross. See, I think it's as humans, we can identify with Father and Son because they seem like people to us. But when you say Holy Spirit, it doesn't seem like a person. It's like, Spirit, dude. You know, it's just kind of weird. Well, guess what? The Father that you love, you've never seen him in bodily form. The Jesus that you serve, you've never seen him in bodily form. The only way you know about the Father and the Son are because the Holy Spirit, who is invisible in this room right now, revealed to your heart that what the Bible says is really true. So could you drop your offense with the Holy Spirit stuff, people? Could you get okay with the Holy Ghost? You know, I think another reason people are not good with the Holy Spirit is because what they see on Christian TV. Maybe y'all don't ever watch it. I quit because of it. Now, I'm not saying everything on Christian media is wrong. Lots of good stuff out there. But every once in a while, you run across someone who does really weird things that are not biblical, and they attribute that to the Holy Spirit. And so people get suspicious of that. I'm not asking you to go to media or TV, the internet, or radio to figure out what the Holy Spirit is. I'm asking you to listen to your pastor and open your Bible and figure out who the Holy Spirit is for yourself. And if you get good with the Holy Spirit, you're going to get good with the abundant life. Some of you are afraid you might turn out like me if you get there. You won't. I'm weird. I've known it ever since I was born. My dad told me it's okay. I got used to it. You can be you, but full of this life. We're going to close right here. I want to encourage you to take this seriously. This is not just some preacher up here getting excited on a Sunday morning because that's my job. No, the Spirit of God wants to be so in control of your thoughts that he could flow his love and joy and peace and pace. So he could work all these things through you so that you could have a great life and then you could share that abundant life with everyone around you. That's why I want you to get serious about the Holy Spirit. Not because we want you to do certain things or be able to say, well, this many people are doing this in our church. I don't care about that. I want the world to know Jesus. And it's going to take a lot more than me to get that done. It's going to take a lot more than just us to get that done. But if we will get filled, if we will get empowered, anointed, and full of this Holy Spirit, abundant Jesus life, woo! We're going to have to tear this thing down and build another one because people are hungry for the authentic, real expression of God through people. People are looking for it, church, and we have the opportunity to be just that. I hope you make it your quest. I hope you make it your number one priority, your goal this year to learn how to live in the Spirit. I hope it becomes the most important thing in your life to learn how to express the fruits of the Spirit in your life every day. Here's my challenge. You might even take it as an assignment from your pastor. Every morning when you wake up, surrender to the Holy Spirit. Here's a prayer I'd like to ask you to pray every morning. Holy Spirit, I surrender to you today. Please do your work in and through me. And then every night before you go to bed, I want to ask you to take your daily assessment and evaluate honestly. Answer the 9 questions and then say this prayer before you go to bed at night. Holy Spirit, work in my heart tonight as I sleep. Transform me so that the fruit of the Spirit can flow through me tomorrow. Guys, these are not hard assignments, but try it. I tried it the other day. Last Monday is the last time I asked myself these 9 questions because it was so difficult to take enough time to really wrestle with whether the fruit of the Spirit had been active in my life last Monday. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying it's simple. Hey, church, wake up and say a little prayer. Simple. Hey, really live that out throughout the day? Maybe not so easy. Hey, church, before you go to bed, take a little time to answer yourself 9 questions. Here's what you'll find. There's a few things in your life that might not agree with the Holy Spirit. And you get the opportunity then to take your mind off of the flesh and set it in agreement with the Spirit with no condemnation, with no fear of punishment, with no guilt, but just opportunity to walk in the abundant life that Jesus promised. Will you stand with me? I want to invite our prayer team to come right now. We're going to close out our service as we always do with a song. And I just want to ask you to contemplate this morning. Think about, reason with yourself. Am I willing to take this challenge? To pray a simple prayer every morning that says, Holy Spirit, I surrender to you today. Please do your work in and through me. And then am I willing to every night take an assessment to really honestly evaluate whether the power and love and fruit of the Holy Spirit have been evident in my life that day? You know what's going to happen? When we start doing this, people are going to notice a change in you. They're going to look at you and say, What's different about you? What is happening with you? When this certain situation happened, you didn't react the way you used to. What's going on? And you're going to say, hey, man, I'm simply surrendering to the Holy Spirit every day. And they're going to go, I want what you have. And right then and there, you're going to be able to share Jesus Christ and the love of the Holy Spirit with that person. It's as simple as that, church. But are we willing to surrender every day? Are we willing to honestly evaluate our lives? Because that's where the rubber meets the road. I want to tell you what. I think we're the people to do it at the right time in the right moment. How about you? Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you for every person I see in this room and every family that's represented through this church. And Father, it is my earnest and desire and prayer that you would so overtake our thoughts and that we would have spirit-controlled lives where you're totally and completely the focus, Jesus Christ and your kingdom and your love that comes through the fruit of the Spirit. God, that we would be people immersed in your goodness, always looking for someone else to share that goodness with. Oh Lord, fall upon us today. Take away every barrier between us and a fully surrendered life. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and amen. We're going to sing a song together. I want to invite you to come for prayer right now. If you want to respond to this message, come and let someone pray for you. Happy New Year, and may it be a Spirit-filled year.